We've been invited to help the community explore and engage in listening practices in the tradition of Friends. For at the very heart of Quaker worship and action is listening and silence. And these practices of silence and listening help us deeply know and trust the many sources and the many ways that God can be revealed and experienced by us. Now, most of us have individual practices, spiritual practices or disciplines that support our relationship with God. But what may be a little less familiar is the spiritual practices that support our group process when we seek God's direction and leading for us as a congregation, as a meeting. It is a shift or a movement from a me to a we. As we seek to partner, our partnership in God's desire for the shalom, for the healing, our healing, the healing of the world in real time. And that could be in our particular lives as individuals, but in particular our meeting here, our community of Newburgh and beyond, and globally, just as we in our prayer requests were reflecting about a concern for Gaza. And so, for example, as a Quaker community of ministers, we are asking ourselves, what does it look like at North Valley to faithfully follow Jesus? We're also asking, what are the ways that we are being called to continue Jesus' ministry? And again, in our local community, in our country. And this certainly touches these places that we know that we are considering is pastoral staffing, our mission, our vision as a community, which includes Peace Village, the Veritas question, solar panels, all of these different elements of what we as a meeting want to be good stewards with our time and with our finances. And so this morning this is going to be just a little bit different. It's going to be less sermon-ish and more. I'm going to tell a story here at the beginning, and then Kathy's going to go deeper into some of the aspects of what listening is for us. And so Jesus reminded his disciples and the crowds that unless one becomes as a child, and unless we become as a child, we may miss some of those places and activity of God and God's relationship with us. And so I'm going to be using a faith and play story. And Gina, this morning when we were gathering for the worship gathering before service, said that this Quaker listening story she had used with the kids just 2 weeks ago. So, we're in good company. Now, if we were back in the children's area, we would be, sitting on the floor and around a rug. So, that's not possible. And I would have some different elements and roll out some flannel. So, we're going to be doing this. You're going to be seeing on the slides some of the different elements that will help bring that story to life for us. So I'm not asking us to be childish, but I'm asking us to engage this with a childlike wonder and curiosity and openness that maybe God will surprise us at what really speaks to us. And at the end of the story, which is traditional, we ask wonder questions. And one of the first questions that we ask the kids is, I wonder what part of the story you like best. And so you might be thinking, I wonder. And then there's some other prompts that I'll have. And even if we don't So I'm going to invite you to engage with me if you wish, and depending upon the timing, but I just kind of want you to know where we're going with this story. So as we would say with the kids, God is ready, I am ready, God is ready, we are ready. So God is never far away. God's Spirit is as close as our very breath. So I just invite you to take a breath. God's Spirit is as close as our very breath. But unless we stop, we pause, and listen, we may not notice. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves, with our bodies, with our minds, our hearts, our imagination, our intuition, our very soul. And the Spirit helps remind us that we are beloved. And how to love, what to do, and who to be. Deep calls to deep. And so we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves. And sometimes God touches that deep, deep place we call the heart. A place where God is at home in us, and we are at home in God. And we feel the Spirit's presence. And we say, here I am, God. And the Spirit helps us remember we are beloved. And how to love, what to do, and who to be. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves. And sometimes God touches us through another person. That of God in one person recognizes that of God in another person, and we say, welcome, God. And the Spirit helps us remember we are beloved, and how to love, what to do, and who to be. Deep calls to deep. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves. And sometimes God touches us through the gifts of creation. The gift of day and night, the sun that rules the day, and the moon and the stars at night. The gift of water and sky, the gift of dry land and rocks and mountains and all kinds of green and growing things. And the gifts of creatures that fly in the sky and those that swim in the sea. And the creatures that walk with two legs, like you and me, and the creatures that walk with many legs. And the Creator announced 5 times, it is good. And the final time, our original blessing, it is very good. And the very order, the rhythm of creation, invites us to pause, to remember our connection with one another and with all creation, and to be thankful for these gifts. Deep speaks to deep. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves. Sometimes God touches us through our senses, our eyes, our ears, as we listen, our tongues that allow us to taste, and our skin, maybe feel the sunshine on our face or the wind as we walk. And we feel the Spirit's presence there and say, "Welcome, God." And the Spirit helps us remember that we are beloved and how to love, what to do, and who to be. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves. And sometimes God touches us through sacred story. God in our hearts works together with the words of the stories, and we recognize the Spirit's presence. Now, these could be the ancient stories of people who came close to God and God came close to them in the desert. The stories of Jesus, the parables, which are gifts to us, and also the stories of God's people in any time and any place who lived in faith and trust and love and wonder. And the Spirit can come to us in other ways as well, words of poetry, of music, of artistic expression. And we welcome God in these stories, in these words, in this artistic expression, this creative expression that we have. And the Spirit helps us remember we are beloved and how to love, what to do, and who to be. Deep speaks to deep. And sometimes it seems like everything is dark and that God is absent and there isn't anything to help us sense God's presence. And sometimes I have needed this community to sing when I could not. Or we needed other people to remind us that we are beloved. And in that belovedness, we remember, we know what it means to love, what to do, and who to be. So we practice listening. Deep calls to deep. And sometimes we sense God's presence in worship and service. Perhaps in this very room during our Sunday gatherings, when we gather for meetings for worship, for business. And when we work together with acts of service and concern for others, God comes so close, and we come so close to God, that there is a covering of love, an openness that settles on us. The me flows to we. And we recognize, well, and heart touches heart. There's a sense of being touched at this deep place. And we recognize God in one another. That of God in you recognizes that of God in you. That of God in you recognizes that of God in you. And we wait and we listen. And we commune together in the living, loving presence of God in our midst. We regather ourselves to the present teacher as we do our work of discerning our faithfulness. And this can happen in any time and any place when we pause pause in sacred wonder and openness, seeking God's direction and movement. Sometimes God gathers us, and then God scatters us. Way opens, there's an unexpected insight, a voice that brings clarity, as we each bring our peace, as we listen and wait together. And we say, here we are, God. We will be your people. We will be your eyes and your ears, your mouth, your hands and feet, in action and service. We will seek to be your beloved community that reflects your presence and action in our particular place, in this particular time, on earth as it is in heaven. We gather and we scatter. Deep calls to deep. And wherever we are, we practice listening. And God can come to us in many different ways. Through creation, through our senses, through sacred texts, artistic expression, through the witness of others, through our pause together in worship and service. So we practice listening. We listen with our whole selves, through our body, our minds, our hearts, our imagination, our intuition, our very soul. And the Spirit reminds us that we are beloved and how to love, what to do, and who to be. So I wonder, what part of the story seems most important to you right now. I wonder what helps you listen for God. I'll leave you to wonder.
So we practice listening. What does that actually look like? You know, go figures, people have studied this. These people connected with social justice came up with an experience circle. And I want to share a bit of that with you, not all of it. The first thing is all the places that we listen. We listen to ourselves. We listen in relationship with others. We listen in the systems that we're part of. Family systems, systems at work, a meeting, a church, a community. We listen in the systems. And we also listen to the environment. And this could be man-made, art, and all the beauty and the architecture. It can also be in nature. We listen in these ways too. The experience circle calls these arenas, the places that we listen. But what I want to focus on today is what does it feel like to listen? So we're going to look at the dimensions. We listen with our whole selves. The first level here is the interpretive. It's the concepts, the ideas, the stories. And then there's the affective, imaginative, which includes emotions, imaginations, metaphors, images. And then even lower is the non-thematic. Body sensations, tears, the way that you might feel when you walk into a room, whether it's safe or unsafe. Let's break this up a little bit. And you should all have like a scrap of paper that you picked up on the way in. Now you get to use it. We'll focus first on the interpretive. These are the concepts, ideas, and stories. I'd like to invite you to think about a time when you had an idea. You told a story, or you heard one, which you just did. You talked through a concept. As you reflect on that, how did that feel inside you? What do you notice about your experience of listening that way? Or in speaking that way? Where do you sense that feeling in your body? Does it have a location? Is there a texture, color, or image that might come to mind? It might not. Some of these questions may not fit. But what do you notice? Let me give you a moment to reflect on that. Jot down what you notice. Just a word or two. Something to help you remember. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is the affective imaginative. So this is where we experience emotions. We use our imagination. Maybe there's images or metaphors that come to mind. So now think about a time, kind of reflect on a time when you held or shared emotions. You engaged your imagination. You spoke through a metaphor. How does that feel internally for you? Do you notice it in your body? Is there a place or a location? Maybe there's a texture, color, image that comes to mind. I'll give you a moment to reflect on this. And jot down what you notice. Let's go to the next one. This is the non-thematic. Sometimes it's a little harder for us to connect here. These are the body sensations, tears, a sense of groundedness, a resonance, a resistance. Can you reflect on a time when you sensed a physical, felt sense, such as maybe walking into a room and either resonating or resisting? How do you notice that feels? Do you feel that in a particular place in your body? It's okay if you don't. Is there a texture, color, or image that comes to mind? It's okay if it doesn't. ahead and jot down what you notice. Do you notice any difference between those three areas, those dimensions? Do they feel the same or different? Any verbal responses? I've seen some heads moving. What'd you notice? Let's go to the next slide. Yes. Jared?
I was just noticing I have a strong bias toward that first level, and that I need people around me to work good in others. And I also need to discipline myself to listen to things that are not in my comfort zone.
Yes, I'm really glad that you pointed that out. So my bias, my starting place, is the non-thematic lens, is the interpretive. You can imagine our conversation when we tried to come up with what we were doing today. We were really missing. And that's one of the gifts, Jared. I'm really glad that you brought that out. It's when we can hold the dissonance that we feel when there's a mismatch or an uncomfortable feeling inside of us. When we can let that dissonance without resolving it too quickly, and let the dissonance do its work. That's the invitation of God. And so when we look at the three era dimensions together, we notice that when we cross into one into another, that's where we experience the movement of God. It's that aha moment. Caroline Oakes has written a book called Practice the Pause, and she talks about the Greek word metanoia. Metanoia is like, whoa, that's a big view. That's more than I knew before. Often in our scripture with Western Christianity, it's translated as repent, which I had always understood in my Baptist background that that's a 180-degree turn. It was about behavior. But what if it's a whoa? That happens when we cross into more than one of these. I can tell you an example. I was in unprogrammed a few weeks ago, and there was a verse that was brought. And since my starting place is non-thematic, I'm sitting with this verse, and I'm looking, it comes from Ephesians, and it was talking about Christ being at home related to our trust. And I was really uncomfortable with these two words together, because I can't actually manufacture trust, and I can't actually manufacture God, Christ being at home in my heart. And then I noticed another word popped out down below, and it was love. So I was in with this dissonance, and I'm feeling uncomfortableness, and I'm not in my head with the words yet. I'm sensing it here. And then tears started coming to my eyes, and I had no words. I didn't have emotions connected to them. They just came. As I realized how these were related, and then the emotion started coming, and then the concept came. And I sat and I discerned if this was for me, or was this for the community? Discerning that it was for the community, I shared. But that it was a cycle, that trust was to Christ being more free in our hearts, which allows us to experience love, which allows us to trust. So it was sitting with the dissonance of the uncomfortableness and not just rejecting what I first saw. It's allowing the dissonance to do its work. But the thing is the lens that we bring, how we view the world, comes from our family of origin, the cultures that we live with, the experiences that we have, can distort what it is that we hear when we listen. So it's really important to recognize the lens that we use when we're listening and hearing with God, with community, with the world around us. And with that humility, we can face and hold the dissonance that allows us greater freedom in those areas. Part of this is also discerning what's the movement of God in us and what's just kind of what we're thinking, our opinions, or preferences. So let's do another practice together. Think about a time, it could be just a simple thing, when you had a good idea. I mean, it could be just as simple as a trip that you'd go on or something, but it didn't necessarily have the fingerprints of God on it. It was just a good idea. Where do you experience that thought, that idea in your body? I ask a lot of students this when I'm teaching, and I usually notice a difference between this one and the next one that I'm going to ask. And so write down, just jot down, what's the texture, color, image? The students really hate that I ask that question. But what do you notice about how a good idea feels in you? Does it have a location in your body? How would you define it? What's the sense that you feel? Okay, and to contrast that, Ron Mock brought a beautiful metaphor to the business meeting for worship of an antenna. Cute, don't you think? Is this the one you were thinking about, Ron? No. But it's where we listen and are in tune to God. So in contrast to the good idea, think about a time when you knew that you knew that you knew, you know, in your knower, that this was an invitation of God. How does that feel? Where do you notice that in your body? And here's the question that people don't like. Is there a texture, color, or image that comes to mind? So what came to mind?
I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
What comes to mind?
Yeah.
Like a green seed.
Oh, yeah. A green seed. Yeah. Anyone else? What comes to mind? It's probably not my lime green radio. It's amazing how we all experience God differently. And when we sit with these kinds of discerning questions, we can recognize the language that God uses with us as we listen as a me. Do you notice any difference between the two? The good idea and the experience where you know in your knower that it's an invitation of God. Do you notice any difference? Usually when I talk with this in classrooms, it's usually there's this depth difference. One is usually here, and the other one is lower. There's been one person that I talked to that it was flipped the other way. That was her experience. They feel differently, don't they? So in a meeting for worship, a business meeting for worship as well, we first listen as a me. We We lean into the experience. And then we listen together as a we, where we're all pointed to the same direction, listening to the Spirit's movement for us as a community. And I saw the best example of this in the last business meeting for worship that we had. I think it was on a Wednesday night. We were talking about solar panels. And you know, solar panels really meet a value of ours. We're interested in clean energy. We want to be good stewards of Mother Earth, and it's important. You can go ahead and go to the next slide. It's a value. And so Mark McMahon brought a wonderful proposal, or gave us insight about what it would look like, how we could walk it out, and the best way to do that. It was insightful, informative. I could sense the room. We were all on board. And then we realized that our funds, we may not have the funds to do that right now. We had other priorities for the money that we had. Things that we weren't sure what we were going to be doing. So we had conflicting values. We had a conflicting value. We want to be good stewards of what we've been given. And we want to take care of the earth. How do we do both? So there's dissonance here, right? So this was in the meeting. Both were important. We could have resolved it really quickly and just threw it out. But there was a concern that if we threw out what we thought about solar panels and our value in that, that we actually weren't honoring that particular value. So you could sense it in the room. We all just listened deeper. We listened together for the movement of God as we were holding these conflicting values. What to do? We knew that we couldn't do both. So we listened for a third way, and we were able to honor the solar panels by putting an item that we could donate to, showing that this mattered to us. And it also matters that we're good stewards with our finances. We listened as a we. We paid attention to all the voices in the room. We came up with a way to prioritize what was important to us. And it couldn't have happened without everybody there. The people there mattered to the way that this decision went. So as we continue revisioning and spending time sensing what our faithfulness is as a meeting, will you bring your puzzle piece? Will you come and listen with us for the movement of the Spirit? Will you share the peace that you bring that is wholly yours to bring? There's a lot for us to hold, as you've heard before. As we continue practicing listening with our whole selves, we have a workshop next week in the afternoon. We have some facilitators going to be coming and helping us host this space as we listen to how we listen as a me, so that we can bring our faithfulness as we listen as a we. You can RSVP for that. I believe there's a QR code.